Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord our God, my beloved brothers and sisters in the faith, the body of Yeshua the Messiah, the truth. And when I say the truth, I am speaking about a way of life. I am not speaking about information by any stretch of the imagination, but a way of life. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and His Son Yeshua the Messiah, and His Son Yeshua the Messiah, on this date of June 17th, 2017. As I always say, that our God is an awesome God, and it is such an honor, it is a privilege, it is a blessing to be reconciled back to Him, to be as a child, to be a servant, to be a recipient of His love and mercy and grace. It is priceless to know that we have an opportunity to be saved, that our souls don't have to be on a line crossing into the abyss, into eternal damnation through the judgment of the lake of fire that is to come. And rightfully so, as Yah has purpose. Excuse me. So I cannot express it enough, the gratitude, and so thankful. And certainly the body of the Messiah, the saints, brothers and sisters in the faith, are in my prayers. I pray that we be encouraged, that we be enlightened, empowered, edified, that we be consoled and comforted in this day and time. These are perilous times. Perilous times are dangerous times. Perilous times are difficult times. It is a hard way. Salvation is not easy. You know, it wasn't easy for Yeshua. 33 years that He was on the planet, it wasn't easy for Him. He had to press. He had to go through suffering. And then that was a means of Him learning His obedience. You know, He exemplified the difficulties that we would face. And He overcame them, and so that when we're in Him, we overcome it as well. The last enemy is death. He overcame death. Everything up until death is, quite honestly, child's play in comparison to death. Because when we die, we're in the hands of eternity now. We're in hands of, excuse me, the eternal. And we go into eternity. And depending on which side you're on, there's no love, there's no mercy, there's no grace. Depending what side you're on, you have no more say in the matter. You can no longer make a decision, a determination. So it behooves us to take advantage of the mercy and grace, the love of Yah now, for its intended purpose, which certainly is to come into repentance and come into reconciliation and come into the lifestyle, the way of life that Yah has purposed, that is reflective of His righteous order, His holiness, that would exemplify Yeshua the Messiah. So when we are looked upon, people see Yeshua the Messiah. So my subject today is open cases in heaven. There are open cases in heaven. That's important for us to know. Because in this world, as it stands, and I'm speaking particularly with respect to America, the beacon of the world when it comes to rights and laws and the standard of what a nation should exemplify in its government, America prides herself as that nation above all nations, as though they are the stewards, they are the keepers of the law. You know, they are the examples of the law and of justice and righteousness and goodness. America esteems herself to be this type of nation. And so generally in America, when you can get by or when you can get a pass from criminal activity, from sin, or when you are judged for criminal activity, America can't judge for sin, of course, that's reserved for Yah, but criminal activity is synonymous with sin. But not all sin is criminal. Criminal activity is synonymous with sin, but not all sin is criminal. If all sin was criminal, then you wouldn't have the bankers, you stealing money, the greed and that is associated with their love of money. You wouldn't have the lying politicians, the lying preachers even, and these type of things. So you have sinners are prospering, that are profiting in their sin, but according to the standards, the laws of the land, they're not criminals. They're not committing criminal acts, so they haven't been charged and convicted for the criminal acts that they're really doing, because they have influence in high places, if you will. And, you know, they're protected. They're covered. You know, they can pull strings. And this is a problem that affects the common people like you and I, you know, that don't have the friendship of people in high places, of principalities and powers. We don't have the friendship of rulers of the darkness of this world. You know, for at least the saints, our friendship, our calling, our help comes from the Most High Yah, and He is the Most High. Even though you have powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, you know, we have, that does exist, but we as believers, as the saints that have a lifestyle, not just a profession of the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of Yah, who died for our sins, shed His blood, who was resurrected, not just on that alone, but then exemplifying a lifestyle, striving unto the lifestyle that qualified Him to die the death that He did, that He was innocent, that when He died, He was not guilty of sin. He had not transgressed the laws of Yah, He was innocent, but our sins was laid upon Him. So when He died and when He was resurrected, then we go back having received this testimony, this gospel, and believe it. Now we go back and we walk the walk that He walked to qualify Him to die the death that He died. And so that when we walk this way and we strive in the way that Yeshua established, blazing that trail for us, then we can have eternal life with Him. So open cases in heaven, getting back, getting to that, is because men conscious cleared when they get by from other men in the laws of the land. You know, and I'm going to use this as an example. Another police officer by the name of Geronimo Yanez was acquitted of murdering Philando Castile, a black male, during a routine traffic stop. This brother had his woman and a child, 4-year-old child, in the car when this police officer executed him. When the officer executed him, you know, the mother made a statement, and I, you know, his mother rather made a statement after the jury found this officer not guilty, you know, with respect to when you die for telling the truth. You know, because this young man let the officer know that he had a weapon and that he had a permit to have that weapon. And he told that to the officer. And yet and still, his life was taken. you know, being honest and telling the truth. And she stated that nowhere in the world do you die for being honest and telling the truth. But in America, a nation that prides itself on truth and honesty and laws and justice, it is a nation that is far from any of that. It is only an ideology. It is not a practice in this nation with respect to the things that are reserved to Yah. You know, so, you know, in regards to the flagrant and blatant disregard for the life of black men in the hands of police, we continue to see this miscarriage of these politicians and these juries and courts and prosecutors, that they are all guilty of the miscarriage of their oath to uphold the law in fairness to all. Even these prosecutors that go after these police, they do it haphazard. They do it as a formality, but they don't put the same passion into it when it's on the other side of, let's say, a black male or a black person that is charged with a crime, that don't have as much evidence, but somehow they can put together a case with less evidence than what we're seeing on video with these police officers, what we're hearing with our own ears. They are able to convict, put together a strong case, a strong enough case, let me say, a strong enough case to convict many a black man with little evidence. So they sharing this responsibility. But I say this, I do not say the miscarriage of justice because I do not believe justice is of the wicked. Justice is the work of God alone, simply because he is the most high, righteous, holy, and just God, and he has the final verdict for all of humanity that he will judge in his court through his only begotten and beloved Son, Yeshua the Messiah. For as the Holy Scriptures say, true and righteous are his judgments. This is why justice cannot be in the hands of men. We are only wasting time and energy when we are crying out to men for justice. Cry out to them, if you will and if you want, to do what they gave an oath to do in their law, to uphold their law. That's the extent of it. We need to hold them accountable for their law. But we cannot expect justice from the unjust. By definition, from a biblical definition, first and foremost, justice is righteousness and truth. That is justice from a biblical aspect, righteousness and truth. When you got men that are corrupt and liars, and they are the generation, they are the offsprings of poisonous snakes and their forefathers that lied, that were corrupt, that were violent and murderous and perverted, and they're from that lineage. They're the offsprings. They are the generation of such men. There is no way that you're going to get justice for all. They're incapable. They are disqualified from the service of justice. So they just throw the name around to make it sound good, but they are disillusioned and they are deceived because they sit in the seat of God established by themselves. But God didn't call them. They're not servants of God. And I'm saying them, I'm saying the politicians, I'm saying your judges, your prosecutors, I'm saying your presidents, your congressmen, your senators, I'm saying your Supreme Court injustices. They call themselves justices, but they're injustices for the very reason of the definition that I just mentioned. But then in Justice Webster's dictionary says that justice is the process or the result of using laws to fairly judge and punish crimes and criminals. To fairly judge and punish crimes and criminals. If we were going to be fair, if justice was going to be about its definition, then you wouldn't have the judges on the bench. You wouldn't have the prosecutors with the authority. You wouldn't have the cops with the authority to kill. The prosecutors with the authority to charge, make charges, frivolous charges, abuse their authority. You wouldn't have the politicians. You wouldn't have the congressmen. You wouldn't have the presidents that swear an oath to uphold even the laws of their land, the worthless constitution. If justice was as it is defined, no man can stand. For we all are guilty. And this is how we know that it's a joke. That justice cannot stand amongst men that are wicked, that are evil, that are hateful, that are racist, that are perverted, that are ungodly. And they make a pass with one another. So, you know, these juries are made up of regular citizens. You know, and so when you see these juries letting the police officers go as they do, it speaks volumes about America as a whole. And the police officers that let go when they're killing black men with no just cause, many a times unarmed men, but then when you have a black male that's telling you that, hey, I have a gun on me, it is clear that he's letting you know I'm not no threat, but for your safety and out of respect for you, I'm telling you that I have a gun. It was for that police officer to be a professional and have some sense of humanity and handle that matter in a respectable way, that this young man would still be living, and whatever he was stopped for, they can the traffic stop, they can get it resolved peaceably, as supposed to be the spirit of policing anyhow, in that they're supposed to serve and protect, and they're supposed to be peace officers. But the black community don't get to serve and protect, nor do they get the peace. They come in violence and come trigger happy and come with a made-up mind that they're dealing with a criminal as though they're dealing with, they're taking these men and dealing with them as though they are dealing with wild animals, when in fact that they are the ones who are acting as wild animals. No regard for humanity whatsoever. And they are entrusted with the right to kill. They're given authority with the right to kill, and they are entrusted to police our communities and enforce the law. And so we don't get the benefit of a law in a lot of cases because the judge, jury, and executioner rest in their hands on the street. And then they go to these, if in fact they are, charges are filed and they have to go through a trial, then their MO is to say that they feared for their lives, and that's all they got to say. And the majority of them are excused by the jury or acquitted by the jury because they paint a different picture in court than what is happening on the street. And on the street, they are beasts. But in the courts, they come in there looking like puppies, soft-spoken men. And it's a trickery that they've been taught. And I believe that this teaching comes from the unions and from these crafty attorneys that they have to insult the intelligence of the community and other people. But it's not hard to do when you are racist anyway, when you are biased anyway, and you're sitting on the jury and the kindred spirit that is there. It's not hard to fool you. It's really just a waste of time and money for the most part in dealing with these issues with these officers, and you already know the outcome based on what has been already. So when I say the open case is meaning that just because you're getting off in the course of the laws of the land, you got to understand, people, that you still have to answer to Yah. There are still open cases in heaven where men who were guilty in heart, but because of who they were in complexion of skin or who they knew in class, in classism, that they got away here on earth. But we need to understand that you're not getting away in the kingdom of heaven. You're going to have to stand and give an answer for what you've done. Let's go over some scriptures with respect to this. You know, in Ecclesiastes 5 and 8, I pull this scripture. Because this is what America is about, with the continuance of their laws. And when they miscarry their law, they want the people to have a higher sense of integrity. The common people that don't get training, that don't get paid, that are not educated in the laws and you know, the system of government, and they want the people to bear the burden of being disciplined. They want the people to bear the burden of turning the other cheek. They want the people to bear the burden that they should be bearing, that law enforcement should know to humble themselves, if you will, should have the capacity to diffuse a matter, but they want the people to be diffused. So when they issue these verdicts of not guilty, when it is plain and clear that these officers were guilty and taking an innocent life, and they did not go by their law and as they were trained, but they went by a secret code that is amongst them from their union. And this is why I said that the unions of the police need to be investigated, because when these police, when these young men or these future officers go through the academy, there is a way that the academy trains and teaches the officers how they ought to conduct themselves. But then there is another side of officers are embracing and learning, and it comes through the strength of the unions, that they have an academy, a secret academy amongst themselves, that they have the officers to unlearn everything they learn in the state-sanctioned academy, unlearn that and take on the knowledge that we're going to give you and how you ought to deal with these streets and deal with particularly black people. And we're going to teach you how to cover yourself. We're going to teach you what to say and what to do and how to act. If you even go to trial, then we're going to teach you how to act and how to dress the part. And we have a high rate of acquittal if you follow what we tell you, instruct you to do, because we got it down to a science. And our government don't seem to understand this and investigate this and hold the unions, police unions, accountable, and the black people continue to suffer. But in Ecclesiastes 5 and 8, it says, if you see the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, it says, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regards, and there be higher than they. Let me read that again. If you see the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting judgment and justice in a province, and that can be a city, that can be a county, that can be a state, that can be a nation. But it continues, it says, marvel not, for he that is higher than the highest regards, and there be higher than they. So what is that saying? When we see the perversion of justice, the perversion of righteousness, we know that the high officials that are over that, there is one higher than them that is watching over the high officials that are watching over the local matters. There are higher officials that are there. There's one, the Most High, that even watch with the high officials with authority and power granted to them amongst themselves, and they don't understand this, that you are being watched too. You are under jurisdiction, and you are under authority as well. There is an expectation and a responsibility that you are accountable for, and it is unto the Most High God, Yah, and they don't understand this. And what a travesty it is to them that though they sport and they entertain and their consciousness is all because they get the breeze, that they were exonerated, the wicked, that they were found not guilty, it don't mean that their soul is out of the danger of eternal damnation. These presidents, these congressmen, these senators, congressmen and congresswomen, these judges, no respect of gender, these prosecutors, these police officers, these men that have authority and power to ill affect other people's lives, even to take a life, the military, the soldiers, a nation that is just bent on violence. We're dealing with police officers, but then look at the military. Granted the permission, granted the right to kill against Yah's word that say you shall not kill. But as servants of Satan, don't know that they have open cases in court. The military going to these other nations, and now they're in the Muslim nations, and they continue to be in the Middle Eastern nation, Muslim nations. They continue to be in Africa, and they killing people at will, especially even during George Bush with that company Blackwater, where they were just, my God, it was like sport for them just gunning down innocent people, men, women, and children, just gunning them down. And they're doing it today, gunning them down in Afghanistan. A father and I think his two sons were mercilessly killed by soldiers. And the family's crying out for justice against them. But that can only come from the hands of Yah. Men cannot execute justice. But this violence, this insatiable appetite for this man to shed innocent blood and put people through pain and suffering. And then at the same time, while he's paining and suffering you, he wants you to endure. He wants you to keep your peace. He wants you to be civil. Oh, my God. But in his power and authority, he can't be civil. He act like a brute beast, devouring, drinking innocent blood with death and violence and destruction. He can't take what he dish out. You do something to these Caucasians in America, they not turning the other cheek. They going to turn your cheek, and they going to lay you down in the dirt. They're very unforgiving. They're very vengeful people. But when they are doing evil and violence to people, they want people to forgive them. They want people to still be restrained in your behavior and conduct. People that are not trained, that don't have the expertise that they have, as I said earlier, they want you to bear the burden of those attributes that they don't want to have themselves. So, saints, I say be encouraged in the Lord, our God. Be encouraged in Him. Don't be encouraged in this system. And if a conviction comes to one of the officers or someone in authority that did us wrong, don't be deceived. They still, even if they convicted of their crime here on earth, they still have to stand before God, Yah, and give answer. So in this, the day of judgment, I'm going to go through some scriptures. We got Ecclesiastes, but in Isaiah 59, I'm going to read Isaiah 59 because it speaks of what we're dealing with now, you know, national corruption. And listen to this. I'm going to read a few verses and let it speak for itself. This is why we have Sabbath scripture studies, so we can be enlightened, so we can be encouraged and edified, and that we can be empowered in the truth. And when I say empowered in the truth, the information that comes from Yah's word, but then the truth in respect to a way of life, the way that we live. Once again, the truth is a way of life. You take this information, you take this knowledge, and then you put it into practical use. You know, the truth is what makes us free. The truth is what sanctifies us. Sanctified is to be separated for Yah's holy purpose. So when we get into the truth, then we no longer enjoy the ways of this world and coming to the rudiments and the conditions of this world. We no longer enjoy the Gentile way of life and their pleasure, their sinful pleasures. You know, we're not surprised by their actions. We don't have a high expectations from them when we come from the truth. You know, if a dog mess on the sidewalk, that is expected of a dog. When an animal do what animals do, you don't be surprised at it when it goes against what a human would do. That is an animal. So when you begin to understand the Gentiles, you're not taken by surprise. You begin to expect, because they don't want you to see evil that they are. They want you to see them as just. When they have these trials, with, like I say, with the officers and all that, they present it in their media, and they had their servants wear the suits and, you know, talk with the nice voice. They study, and they're very skilled in deception and the illusion. They're like magicians, soothsayers. They practice of witchcraft. Evil is good with them, and good is the evil. So they are very skilled in this, and they want you to believe that they are of honesty, they are of integrity, they are just. This is what the system is about. This is why they had that transgender-looking object of a woman with the blindfold around her eyes, supposed to be a woman of justice, and America is supposed to exude that, but even that statue tells that you're dealing with an unjust nation and a nation that is blinded, deaf, and dumb, because they esteem this statue that's deaf, dumb, and blinded, and then they put a blindfold over a statue that's already blind. It speaks volumes when you come into the truth. And when you come into this truth, then you don't want to live and walk their way of life. You want to walk the steps that you should walk according to this word. You know, we strive. We're not perfect, but we're coming out of this. We don't desire the things of this Gentile culture in this world. And we continue to strive and press towards the mark, and the mark of perfection, and what we miss, Yeshua will make up. So in Isaiah 59, this is profound. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Black people particularly. All this marching and crying and spitting out the mouth and snot running out your nose and just making yourself look a fool before these folks, you're crying to the wrong people. You're crying to heavy ears. that cannot hear or will not hear you. You're crying to shortened hands that cannot grab for you and help you because you don't want to let go of your sins. You don't want to let go of the culture that you're up under in the Gentiles, so you are left to cry unto the Gentiles because you assimilated unto their way of life. God can deliver us, but we have to come out of that culture. We have to come out of that way of life. Then he can answer our pleas. He can answer our cries. He can address our issues, and he can bring a vengeance upon our enemies. But we are separated, and we're getting more, and the gap is bigger and wider. Each generation, the gap is wider and wider. You look at black people, and I'm speaking specifically today. Look at our children. Look at even the adults that are as children. Look at the obscenities. Look at the vulgarities. Look at the lewdness, and they have no shame. Look at the sin that we're in. The sexual perversion, the sexual immorality with regard to the homosexuality, the sodomy, and all of these things. And as I say, the things that come out of our people's mouth, they sing about, and then the entertainment that as they're singing all this wretchedness and this perversion, people are just loving to hear it. We're reduced to crying and begging to a man who definitely cannot help us. Cannot help us and will not help us. So he says, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity, lawlessness, and sin. And your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. And yes, our people do have blood on our hands because in spite of the police officer, black people are killing each other at an alarming rate. But this is a national thing because it is the spirit of the Gentiles that are killing us as well, and they're making means for us to kill one another. It is a spirit. It is witchcraft over our people. And we elect to have it so. And so it says, none calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. And this is for the Caucasians as well. And this is where it gets in, because as Christians, meaning that you believe that the son of Yah, Yeshua, and you call him Jesus, died for your sins, you ought to exemplify a different character of behavior for what you have acknowledged that this man died for your sins. You ought to be a different people, and for what Yah had put on Israel and for the tribe and for Judah, you have been adopted into that family and that lineage, so what was expected of them, according to the word, is expected of you because now you're adopted by the seed of Yah's son and through his word and accepting the fact that he died for your sins. Now you ought to be living as a saint, sanctified, and you call yourselves Christians, and you give oaths, and you say prayers in the name of your Christian religion. Because you're not saying that you're Muslim, you're not saying that you're Buddhist and Hindu, but you're using the name of the Lord. And unfortunately for you and Sally, that you use his name only for profit and gain, but you have done such a dishonor to this man's name, disrespect and ill repute to this man's name under your power and authority. So none call for justice. None plead for truth. And that's why this woman said that you can die for being honest and truthful. And then just jumping down, because I don't have enough time, to verse 7. This is what police officers do. You call a police officer and tell them that you have a just a civil issue, a civil matter. My neighbor arguing with me and, I got this going on. Just a simple matter. And as peace officers, you would expect them to come through, in the best interest of the community and talk to you both and be like a mediator and say, hey, you guys cut it out before this go any further and then you end up in court or, it becomes criminal. You expect for them to have that respect, particularly in the black community. because in the affluent Caucasian community, they had that rapport. They do policing. And I can understand why Caucasians like police, because they get that sense of peaceful spirit, that sense of mediating and even with television portray police. They kind of get that in their communities, in their enclaves. But black people, we don't get that at all. Very rarely. Very rarely do we get the spirit of policing as it is written on paper to serve and to protect. And in that, I would have to be to respect. We don't get that. But this is what you do get when you're calling them for a matter. That adrenaline gets the building up in them, and this is what you get. And so verse 7 said, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, which is thoughts of lawlessness. They're not thinking in terms of the law, how to resolve a situation. They're thinking in lawlessness. They're thinking how they're going to cover themselves once they break the law themselves. That's what their thoughts are, how I'm going to cover. And this is why they get together after they done broke the law, after they done killed somebody. They get together to get the story right. But then it says, wasting and destruction are in their path. It says, the way of peace they know not. These are supposed to be peace officers, but they're not skilled in the way of peace, at least with dealing with our people. Even in a situation that poses no threat to them. When a brother tell you, I have a gun, man, that automatically lets you know I'm not a threat. Still end up dead because the officer said, I fear for my life. And that's the MO. That's all they got to say. That's what they're trained to do with a puppy face and deceive those who are ignorant and want to be deceived anyway, such as a jury. So like people, like priests, like leaders, like the followers. You're dealing with these juries, you're dealing with the generation and the offsprings, they're one and the same. And they always get these juries with a majority of Caucasians because they can pull on their strings because they got familiar spirits and they know how, they know themselves. So they know how the jury is going to respond for the most part. And it says, and there is no judgment in their goings. They don't have judgment. In their tracks when they're going, they don't know how to make decisions, wise decisions. You know, they just not prepared for dealing with black people because it's embedded into them from the hatred, the racism, and the white supremacy and superiority. And I'm learning now that white supremacy and the superiority of it is such a strong spirit that a lot of times it even comes on to people that are not Caucasian, meaning they can be Hispanic, they can be even black people, that they can be caught up in that spirit. And it is still the preservation of the Caucasian people at the expense of black people. So you have black officers shoot and kill a black suspect before they would kill a Caucasian. Hispanic do likewise before they do a Caucasian. It is embedded in them to have a preservation of life and have a sense of tolerance when dealing with Caucasians to preserve them. White supremacy can even overpower people of color to preserve the white supremacy and the white privilege and the white power. So then we have it, and neither do justice overtake us. Therefore, judgment is far from us, neither do justice overtake us. So righteousness and truth, they don't overtake them. They are overtaken in fear and hatred and rage and adrenaline and a power trip. They're overtaken in that, you know. And so for the sake of time, I'm going to jump down to verse 14 and 15. And it says, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth fails, and he that departs from evil make himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And that judgment is rendered as justice. It displeases Yah that there is no justice. Yah is mad with the wicked every day. He is angry with the wicked every day. Yah said there is no peace to the wicked. But yet the wicked continue to want to come in peace. And the wicked think that all is well, and they have no idea that there is a day of reckoning. There is a day of judgment. You know, Yeshua has that day of judgment. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 22. The Gospel of John, verse 5, 22, and just pull out the scriptures that are enlightening us and letting us know that Yeshua has the final judgment. In John 5, 22. Start at verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, or makes them alive, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judged no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honor not the Son honor not the Father which has sent him. So if you're honoring the Son, and you say that you acknowledge that he is the Son and that he died for your sins, and you honor him, you do not honor by justifying yourselves in these killings and these injustices and in these lies and in this violence and this hatred and this racism. That is not honoring the Son. You're honoring the Antichrist. You're serving the Antichrist. Y'all have been deceived, Caucasian folks. Your own has deceived you to your utter destruction, such that Yah is so angry he's going to utter destroy you. Y'all better break that curse that is over you in your hatred, your racism, your white supremacy, your white power that make you do these egregious and heinous crimes and acts. And you don't know it, and you think you're justified, and you have no idea that though you justified and you have either been vindicated in the courts of the land or you have not even had a charge against you, you need to understand that you have an open case in heaven. FBI, CIA, Secret Services, Justice Department, President, Congressmen, attorneys, judges, lawyers, Supreme Court, all men will stand before God. Yah, you have cases in heaven. Even though your cases have been dismissed or weren't even brought about, you're not getting away with anything. Y'all need to hear this, and so that you can make a conscious decision to repent while you have mercy and grace. That officer, now they're going to make a deal with him to separate him, and there's some type of money involved with these officers that are killing. They're getting some type of kickback, whether insurance, whether they're filing claim to for some type of mental disability associated with work. Something, you best believe if you investigate these cases and follow the money trail, that they're getting paid. The love of money is the root of all evil. They're getting paid, and so they're going to make a deal with this man to resign. And it's going to be a dollar figure tied to that. And he's going to resign, and he's going to live whether in retirement or whatever, and he's going to be well paid for killing someone. And he's going to be happy. But no one is letting him know, sir, your case is still open. You got a pending case in heaven that you have to give an account for. You have to give an account for. And it's a matter of life and death for you, not life in prison as on earth, but eternal damnation burning in the lake of fire. Y'all need to hear me on this, especially if you're eavesdropping through government officials, as there's no security now. And I know I say enough to warrant to be on the red flag or somebody list, but if you listen to me, you need to know you need to repent, for your job will not cover you when you stand before Yeshua the Messiah in judgment. You can't say I was doing my job. I'm letting you know your job, if it got you living in sin, you're doing the wrong type of work. So that Yeshua, he's the judge. Verse 27, For as the Father has life in himself, this is verse 26, so has he given to his Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the same as the Son of God. He was the Son of Man in the flesh, but from the Spirit he was the Son of God. It is talking about the same person. Then verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Meaning my judgment is righteous, is not perverted. I don't have racism. I don't have biases. I can't be bribed in these things. My judgment is righteous. I'm not like the judges of the earth, the juries of the earth, and the police officers and the politicians and, you know, these men that are entrusted to do a service to the people in the highest integrity, but they're corrupt. That's not me, Yeshua is saying. And he says, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And this is the thing, they're in the interest of their own will, meaning whether they want to save their own behind, whether they have inhibitions that they are feeding into, be it their hatred and their racism and these different things, or whether they want to get pleasure in seeing how many numbers they can rack up against in convictions against black men, or whether they will, if they have a desire to just kill black men and be a part of that secret organization society, the Brotherhood, where they can celebrate, where they can be happy and boast about what they did amongst one another in secret. Y'all sees that stuff. Y'all sees that stuff. Y'all sees that stuff. Let's go to Romans 14:10. Y'all sees this, and he knows this. These police officers, when they do these crimes and they put on these sad faces and get away, when they get amongst one another, they're drinking, they're partying, they're high-fiving one another. They're having a good time, but they don't know that they have open cases still. No need to feel happy unless this is your heaven, but you need to know that you're going to suffer eternally. So in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, it let us know that Yeshua is the only judge. Let's start at verse 9. For to this end, the Messiah both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. He's Lord of the dead and the living. He took the keys of hell and death from Satan. He has authority over that now. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of the Messiah. We shall all. And then it says, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Man, you got open cases in heaven. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 10. Y'all, you got open cases in heaven. You celebrating too early. But I say this, if you don't have a mind to repent and be in the righteousness and get your chastisement now, then go ahead and celebrate. This is your heaven. This is your glory. Because in the world to come, you won't have any laughter and any joy, but it'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of the Messiah, that everyone may receive the things done in his body or according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Then it says, listen, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm trying to tell you, we persuade men, the servants of Yeshua. I'm trying to tell you, listen, we persuade men But we are made manifest unto God. We are revealed unto God, trying to tell you that you're not getting away with anything. You're not in secret in your dealings, how you make these deals with your attorneys, and they school you and tell you what to say and your demeanor and how to act because they studied yours. They know their own kind, so they know what is a high success rate, and you getting away with murder, with crime, and then even getting away with your sin. At least in this world, sin in this world. You got away with your crime, but your sin, really, you're not getting away with. But it says, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So when you so that's why I'm preaching and telling you, when you understand the terror of the Lord and the lake of fire being in his judgment, man, you don't want, you would rather be convicted in man's court of law and have an opportunity to repent, to be convicted by Yah in eternity. Trust and believe, you don't. And this is not only for law enforcement, this is for all of us. We don't want to fall in the hands of an angry God and who is reflected in his son. We don't want that. Trust and believe that we don't want that. James 2:13, God's judgment without mercy to those that show no mercy. That's what the scriptures say. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoice over judgment. Police officer ain't got to kill. They can show some mercy. Though by law they have a right to kill, that don't mean you go and kill. You have a duty and responsibility to humanity. You have a duty and responsibility to the laws of God above the laws of men, whether you know it or not. And this is why even Peter says in 2 Peter, then you know the day of judgment is coming. You got open cases in heaven, listeners, saints, sinners. It don't matter what side you're on. You got to stand before the Most High God through his son Yeshua. 2 Peter 2, 3, and 4. It says, I'm going to read verse 3. And many shall follow their, verse 2, 2 Peter. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. And that pernicious, you know, that word is destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fiend words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. So, and then it says, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And then he begins to talk about the flood, those of the flood, the ungodly, the world of the ungodly and the flood, and then Sodom and Gomorrah, they were judged. Then it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. That's verse 9, the day of judgment to be punished. And 3 and 7, 2 Peter 3 and 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the perdition of ungodly men, of destructive men, violent men, ungodly men, the day of judgment. God has reserved fire to them. Once again, open cases in heaven. We all got to repent. But for the wicked that are rejoicing because they got away with their violence in this land, saints, don't be disheartened. They have a day of reckoning. The families of those killed by senseless acts of violence, there's a day of reckoning. Till next time, beloved, may our God continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation. Above all else, take care, loved ones.